Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are so glad you are here today. Thanks so much, as always, taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate your time. It's been a busy day. We've over the last couple of days, we talked a lot of football. Obviously, basketball has crept in more so pro than anything as the Bucks fire their head coach. Just had the interim head coach on just a couple of moments ago. Joe Prunty joining us for a few. We'll talk more about that coming up here in a little bit. And we are in the heart of college hoops season. And to talk some Big Ten hoops with us, Tom Dienhart, senior writer for thebig10network.com. He is joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Tom, how you doing today, man? Good to have you back on the program.
Yeah, doing good. Thank you for having me. We're about at the halfway point of the season, and it's looking like about a two- or three-team race right now.
Well, yeah, and unfortunately, the Wisconsin Badgers are not a part of it. They have had a couple of injuries. They've fallen on some hard times this season. Ohio State certainly getting the job done along with Purdue. Michigan State, we always can count on being there. Michigan to a certain extent. But is the Big Ten as deep as it, this year as it has been in the past? Because I see, you know, with Indiana being the cutoff point at 12-8 and below, I don't see it being as deep this year as far as win totals.
I don't either. I mean, Maryland's been a disappointment. They had some injuries that have really impacted them as well as some key personnel losses. But the conference just doesn't look like it's that strong. I mean, let's be honest. Maybe four or five bits at the most. I mean, Nebraska's a team that kind of excites me a little bit. I know they lost last night, but they gave Ohio State a pretty good run. In my mind, Nebraska may be better than Indiana and Maryland, maybe the fifth best team in the conference. So, again, it doesn't look like a strong league. You still wonder how good it is. They're just beating up on each other. It's Purdue, Ohio State, and Michigan State getting fat on an average conference. As you know, more shall be revealed once we get into March, for sure.
Are you a little bit surprised at how good Ohio State is after Thad Matta's exodus?
Yeah, boy, what a surprise. Not just in the Big Ten, but nationally. I think they've won 12 out of 13 games. The only loss in that run was to North Carolina. Again, who saw this coming? This is a team that was supposed to be in the bottom, third to quarter in the conference this year. Talked about the coaching transition. No hiccup, though, right? Chris Holtman comes from Butler. And Kata Bates-Diop has emerged as the Big Ten Player of the Year. Jayshon Tate's playing well. So without a doubt, who could have envisioned the Buckeyes being, 9-0 in the Big Ten at this point, ranked 13th in the country?
And looking at Purdue, we knew Purdue would be strong anyway, but sitting there undefeated right now in the Big Ten, only two losses on the entire season after starting off a little bit slow. You thought, this might not be the team everybody thought it would be. And then they have just been on a tremendous run ever since. Talk about Purdue's strength.
Yeah, 4-2. It's been 2 months since they lost, if you can believe it, almost exactly 2 months. They went to the Bahamas. Lost in overtime to what's proven to be a pretty good Tennessee team. Then they got beat by Western Kentucky. And, boy, you thought, is this team going to go off the rails? Then they crushed Arizona, and it's been off and running since then. Remember, they had the Big Ten Player of the Year last season, Caleb Swanigan. He opted to go pro after 2 years. They don't miss the guy at all. They're better without Caleb Swanigan. You never thought you'd say that, right?
Exactly.
19-2, the best start. Since 1987-88, 30 years ago. So four seniors, that's all I'll say about Purdue, four seniors. How often you see teams these days that have four seniors that are selfless and they all embrace their roles and are all playing well. So they're just on fire right now. Circle February 7th on your calendar, okay?
Mm-hmm.
February 7th. February 7th. the only meeting between Ohio State and Purdue will take place in West Lafayette. Maybe that'll be the de facto Big Ten championship game.
I want to get, which I agree, it's going to be tremendous. And in West Lafayette, it's a whole completely different atmosphere, as tucked away as that is, as opposed to Ohio State and Columbus, Ohio. So it's going to be off the hook in that area. I did want to get back to the Wisconsin Badgers and kind of bring it back to center here. The Badgers have some injuries. It's obviously a down year. Give me your assessment of this team and where they stand right now.
Yeah, you talked about the injuries, I think. Not just the injuries, but they lost a lot of good players. Bronson Canning was a guy I liked a lot, and the guard play this year has really been an issue because of injuries primarily. And that's really been the gist of it. Honestly, the issues in the backcourt, you know, Ethan Happ being Ethan Happ. It's incredible to watch that guy bring the ball up. Sometimes it's a point guard that shows you how desperate they are. So again, it's a bump in the road. I don't think anybody saw coming. It's been such a great run for Wisconsin. We're going back 17 or 18 years of all those top four finishes and NCAA appearances is finally going to end. And again, I think the injuries, the youth, and the issues in the backcourt have been three of the primary reasons why Wisconsin's sort of been off its mucker this year.
Talking with Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, senior writer for BTN.com. So what does the future, in your opinion, hold? Because, you know, people can look at Greg Gard and go, well, you know, you had Bo's guys, you had some wins, now you got your guys, and you're having a bump in the road. Yeah, there's some injuries, but it should be a deeper team. You've turned the ball over a lot. You played some sloppy basketball. Yeah. What is the real future of this program?
Well, I think it's up in the air at this point. I mean, only year two of his tenure, probably too soon to judge. He did pretty well last year, of course. You know, this is a mulligan. And, yeah, we'll see. I think there's still talent there. I like that freshman class that came in. But next year's going to be pivotal. This year's not over yet. You don't want to trash it just yet, but it's an awful big uphill battle right now. But, again, more shall be revealed for Gard and his ability to keep that Badger program at the same level as guys like Dick Bennett, you know, did beginning way back in 1999, 2000, so all the way to Bo Ryan. So, you know, we'll see. Like I said, he's been on the bench a long time, but he still has a lot to prove, I think.
Yeah, one of the when you talk about some of the predecessors, when you talk about Bo and Dick Bennett, I mean, they built this system on defense and getting transition buckets. They have struggled in that area as well. It's been, and again, the injuries play into it, but it's been somewhat disconcerting in the sense of we haven't seen that style of Badger basketball. And I don't, right now, it kind of looks to me as if they're trying to play defense, they're trying to hang on to the ball, they're trying to play an up-tempo game, they're trying, but it doesn't seem like anything, they don't have an identity with this team right now.
Yeah, sometimes you have to look at the players, too. The leadership has to come from within. And you're right, defense has always been the hallmark. And I always marveled at the way Wisconsin could play defense and not foul as well. And then you talked about guard play, too. So key, you know, you can have all the seven-footers you want, 6'10 guys you want. It always gets down to your guard play, which team has the best guards. And again, the injuries there for Wisconsin have been having a little documented. So, like I said, it's been a tough go, but you still like to see maybe Wisconsin to be like if it hadn't been hit with some of those injuries in the backcourt.
So go back to the top, Ohio State, Purdue, Michigan State. Any one of those teams could win it all?
I think so, yeah. You know, Purdue still has to go to Michigan State. That's the only time they meet this year. Ohio State and Michigan State have already played once, and, of course, the Buckeyes won in Columbus. I know Ohio State still has to go to Michigan. So, yeah, I think any one of those three, of course, Purdue and Ohio State have yet to lose a conference game, while Michigan State has two losses. So they have the uphill battle. In all honesty, Purdue should go 17-1. They do have to go to Wisconsin, do have to go to Indiana. They have to go to Michigan State. They got the home game against Ohio State. But, again, they're looking awfully good. And, like I said, the Buckeyes have to go to West Lafayette and Michigan. So it's going to be more of an uphill battle for Michigan State. You got to like, again, the chances of Purdue or Ohio State not to have any more than one or two losses.
I was going to ask you, because Michigan State ranked 6th in the country, Ohio State ranked 13th in the country. Is there that big of schism between those two?
You know, as far as the resume goes, not really. Like I said, Michigan State's already lost two Big Ten games. They got beat on their home court by Michigan a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned the loss in Columbus, Ohio as well. Apparently there isn't that big of a schism or big of a chasm between those between those two programs. This is supposed to be Tom Izzo's quote-unquote most gifted team ever in East Lansing, and it certainly hasn't played like that. People think this team lacks that grit, that toughness that really defined so many of his great teams when they had guys like Draymond Green and Mo Peterson in particular. Is that guy on this Michigan State team? I think the jury remains out on that. Like I said, the gritty toughness element may not be at its normal great levels that have come to the finals past great Spartan teams. They can still win it, but like I said, it gets more than putting a bunch of five-star players together who can shoot three-pointers. You got to have those guys who want to grind and be gritty and be tough.
Tom, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you come tournament time as well, okay?
It'll be here before we know it. Thank you.
I know. Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon. Tom Dienhardt, senior writer for the Big Ten Network. BTN.com is where you can read his stuff breaking down the Big Ten and college hoops. Also, talking a little basketball outside of just the Big Ten. You got Purdue ranked number 3 in the country, Michigan State number 6 in the country, Ohio State right now number 13 in the country. And that kind of does it for the Big Ten. As the Big Ten in Michigan at number 25, if you want to, kind of go that deep, sitting at 17-5 overall. But those three teams are kind of it, and everything else has just been, as he said, just to use the word down, it's been down year for the Big Ten when it comes to college basketball. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Our friends at Quick Trip bring you the program. They bring us over to Minneapolis, St. Paul. They have a lot of great stuff inside Quick Trip. If you haven't checked it out, they're big on fresh, whether it's the Quickery bread for 99 cents, the specialty bread, same. They have the meat cabinets, milks, eggs, cheeses, you name it, they've got it. Low on price, and to find a location near you, go to quicktrip.com, quiktrip.com. That's quicktrip.com. Thanks to them for being a part of the broadcast, heading over to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Super Bowl LII as well. When we come back, more reaction, because we had a chance to talk with the interim head coach, Joe Prunty, of the Milwaukee Bucks, and many of you reacted on Twitter. I want to get to some of that. Some of you reacted via Facebook and the emails as well as to what was not said as opposed to what was said. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show next. I see your dirty face hide behind your collar. What is done in vain? Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God to justify the way you live. Welcome back, Bill Michael Show. We continue. Radio Joe across the way. I'm Bill Michaels. If you want to follow us, by the way, and I haven't mentioned this all day, I've been erroneous because we've been buried in a lot of different stuff to chat about. But if you want to follow us on Twitter, you can @Bill_Michaels or @RadioJoeSports. You can also find us on the Facebook fan page. That's a way to participate. Facebook.com. And just look for Bill Michaels with the blue check mark, The Bill Michaels Show. Also, we have the app. We are an app now. If you want to find out everything about the show, simply go to your store on your, whatever it is you're using, phone, iPad, computer. Just simply just download Bill Michaels Sports, and you'll find it. Bill Michaels Sports, and it'll pop right up and download it, and you're good to go. Another way to listen to the program. Jason Terry last night talking about the team and how, Coach Kidd, he got fired. It was basically, look, and I said this with the whole Giannis situation, with Giannis calling him and people saying, oh my God, is this, Giannis and this and that. Look, guys rebound the basketball, guys play better defense, team wins, more games. We're not talking about this today. But because this team just didn't look good, Jason Terry said it's on us, not necessarily Jason Kidd.
A coach doesn't get fired because he can't coach. It's because his team was not performing up to the level that they should be. And so you should take that personally. And I think each individual guy did, and we made it a point tonight to come out and do something about it.
And they came out and played good basketball, better basketball, not great basketball, but they did play better. Jason Terry, he defended Kidd, said, hey, he did a pretty good job when he was here.
For him, he understands another chapter in his book, which is a Hall of Fame book. He did what he did a great job here. This is not by any means a failure for him. Where this franchise was before he got here to where they are now and going to continue to go, he has a part in that.
He does. He deserves credit. I want to get into that discussion after this, but how much credit do you give Jason Kidd for taking this franchise to the next level? What percentage of that would you give to him or even to John Hammond? Because John Hammond had a hand in this as well. He was the one that drafted Giannis. But how much of the development process do you give to Jason Kidd? Now, you know, Jason Terry talked about how John Horst, the general manager, kind of assessed the team and guys got a chance to speak their piece.
Mr. Horst addressed the team. We were able to speak our piece, and then guys were able to go out and focus in on the task at hand. And so I think for the most part, the message was, it's on us.
You know what's kind of weird?
Give it to me.
Jason Terry is older than John Horst.
Yeah. And he calls him Mr. Horst.
That is funny to me.
I like it, but it is a little bit, you know, it's a respect factor. And I can appreciate that more than anything.
I do love Jason Terry, and I'm glad he stuck around for another year. And I think Jason Terry has a lot of coaching potential. I think somewhere, once he decides to hang it up, he will be coaching somewhere. Now, all this talk about making him the head coach, I don't want to go through another situation where you have a player who goes right to the head coaching job after he retires like Jason Kidd. I don't want to go through with that again. Now, I know Jason Terry, he speaks really well. He sounds like a leader. He sounds like a guy who can lead a team. But you know what? He needs to have a little seasoning first as a coach, because that's still a transition before I'd ever consider him to be a head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. But he definitely has a future in the NBA when it comes to coaching.
That Jason Terry said, look, at this point in time, the coach is gone, so now the pressure's on the players.
Once they make a decision, which was a tough one, that they did, they put the onus on the players. And we understand it's going to take us as a group collectively. We have the talent, but us as a group collectively to come out and execute and play together and have fun. And then, you know, we can live with the results.
So there you go. That is Jason Terry talking about the head coach, Jason Kidd, being let go yesterday, the fallout, the aftermath. What went on, what was said, and moving on from there. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. 855-830-8648. Give us your thoughts now that you've heard the interim head coach. You've heard, obviously the replay of some of the more important clips coming from John Horst. You've heard Jason Terry. You've heard numerous players. You've heard guys like Gary Wolfel respond to all of this. Jordan Schultz from Yahoo Sports, who came on with us a little bit earlier and talked about his sources and what people were telling him inside the organization and the rift between Jabari Parker and the former head coach. So now that this is all culminated and the emotional dust begins to settle, do you feel that, one, the Bucks organization, John Horst, did the right thing? Do you feel that all of this is pushing this franchise into the right direction? Or do you think they made a bad move? You can go on that side as well. Do you feel at this point in time that this next hire, whoever it may be, if there's a particular quality you want to see or don't see or what have you can fire that off to us? I mean, there's a lot of things to think about as this thing begins to move forward over the next few days, next few months. And as, you know, different head coaches' names begin to emerge as to whether or not Prunty's the guy or somebody else, Fizdale or whoever else it may be. There's a lot of different names being bandied about. And outwardly, and this is another thing that we have not really touched on, but when was the last time that the Milwaukee Bucks job was looked at as a coveted job, the job to get this offseason?
Amazing, isn't it?
Think about that. I mean, Jordan Schultz said it. Wojnarowski said it out of ESPN. I mean, there's numerous people that have been writing about this saying, look, this is no longer your mom and dad's Milwaukee Bucks from years gone by where they were toiling away in anonymity. This is a prevalent franchise that has a new facility, a new workout facility, new offices, new buildings, rejuvenated enthusiasm from its fan base, a legitimate superstar, a possibility of another superstar, depending on what happens with Jabari when he comes back and as another cornerstone to the franchise. They've got, right now, the reigning rookie of the year. They've got a lot of things heading in the right direction. So for as much as we can sit here and say, well, the Jason Kidd experiment was a failure in a lot of ways, even though he did take this team back to a prominent position, how much do you give to Jason Kidd? How much do you give to John Hammond? And then how nice is it to be looked at as you're one of the primo jobs in all of basketball right now? There's probably, what, seven jobs in basketball you'd love to have. Everybody would love to have either New York or L.A., no matter how good or bad the franchises are, okay? You'd like to have Cleveland. You'd like to have Golden State Warriors
Golden
job.
State, yep.
You'd love to have, the San Antonio Spurs job, okay? That's that storied franchise that has a ton of recent success. The Celtics is a job that obviously is a prevalent job. But the only one that's available right now that people are saying, hey, this is a job that you can win at and do some damage right here, right now, is Milwaukee. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Bob on the east side. Bob, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Ed, thank you. I can only say from the beginning, I kind of thought that kid during the news conference sounded thug-like, and maybe they didn't like what he portrayed. Good coach or bad coach, I just kind of got a real thug mentality from him. Am I off base?
No, I think he's just a soft-spoken guy. I mean, he wasn't, I mean, obviously that is a term that many people look at as derogatory, and I don't look at it that way. He was a hard-nosed, hard-playing guy, you know, but I don't look at it that way. I don't think they look at him, Bob, and I appreciate the phone call, as a bad portrayer of the organization, because had they looked at him that way, they never would have hired him. They looked at him as a future Hall of Famer, flash, big name, all the things that they were looking for to take this franchise to a different level of recognition. And they got that.
Well, but how everything went down in that process was goofy. Because, again, remember how this played out in Brooklyn. Jason Kidd, he wanted more control in the front office.
Right.
Brooklyn said, no way, we're not doing it. So he was very close with Mark Lazary. Mark Lazary got Jason Kidd over to Milwaukee. They fired Larry Drew out of the blue. No one saw it coming. The press conference itself was awkward when Jason Kidd was here. They wouldn't get in any specifics. And so the reputation and what was reported around the league for the last few years is, how much control does Jason Kidd really have? And if you looked at it, Jason Kidd, by all accounts, had a lot of say and was making a lot of these personnel moves, especially when it came to trades and free agent signings. And he was, he got Greg Monroe here, let's be honest. Now, I know Greg Monroe did not work out, but Jason Kidd, Mark Lazary,
Greg
John
Monroe
Hammond.
Didn't have anything to say about him last night either when he was asked.
Oh,
you
yeah.
hear that?
I got to find that audio.
Because that was, again, what's not said is speaks loudly. You know, Greg Monroe last night when he was asked, now, is this the Q&A with him or is this just a question?
This is the Q&A. Cody Grant, one of our producers from the fan, he's filled in on the show before.
Right.
He got some sound of Greg Monroe.
He went up and talked to Greg Monroe about the firing of Jason Kidd. Here's the back and forth.
Okay, take a listen.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, it's good to be back here, see the fans again, see a few familiar faces. And, you know, the BMO is always a fun place to play in. So, you know, just fun time being back in here.
Your time here, you played under Jason Kidd. He, of course, was fired today. What was your relationship like with Coach?
You know, we had a normal player-coach relationship. You know, I don't, you know, that's really it.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on Jason Kidd fired?
I don't care. I'm not here anymore.
Yeah. Besides that, what was it like seeing your teammates you played with?
It was great to see them. You know, a great group of guys over there. You know, so as always, fun to be on the court with them again, you know, competing against them. You know, I wish them the best moving forward.
There you go, Greg Monroe.
Normal coach-player relationship. I don't care. I don't play over there anymore.
I don't care. I'm not here anymore.
I mean,
jeez.
Again, it's what's not said. He didn't say, man, what a great coach, what a great mentor. He's a guy that really helped me. He's a guy that brought me here. I have a lot of affinity for him. None of that.
But see, that was the other thing with Monroe. So Monroe doesn't fit, so then all these rumors start flowing about Greg Monroe being on the trade block. Greg Monroe doesn't fit here. When are the Bucks going to trade Greg Monroe? This went on for a while. So finally, it happens. If I'm Greg Monroe, I got every reason to be upset with Jason Kidd about that, because you know Jason Kidd had a hand in that. It's the same thing with this theory behind the relationship between Kidd and Jabari Parker.
Jason Kidd also took him out of the starting lineup after wooing him and saying, you're going to be one of our cornerstones.
I'll tell you what, Greg Monroe,
He took it like a champ.
He did it, and he did it very well off the bench. He found a role off the bench, but what you were paying for Greg Monroe and what you thought you were going to get out of Greg Monroe, it didn't work out. And look, Greg Monroe is never known for being a good defender, but I thought last year he took a big step forward with his defense. I thought he was more effective than he ever has been. Now, whether or not that's a product of Kidd, the coaching staff as a whole, Greg Foster, I have no idea. But the Greg Monroe experiment did not work out the way people wanted it. But when Jason Kidd got here, he was able to lure someone like that into the organization. That was that was a big deal at the time. We were all really happy about that when that went down.
855-830-8648. We'll talk with more John and Derek and everybody that's on hold. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Thanks for hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it on a day in which we discuss the firing of Jason Kidd, the moving forward of the Bucks organization. We'll get more into some of the Brewers chatter tomorrow. I know that was one of the promos that we ran from yesterday to talk Brewers baseball, as the Brewers have made an offer, at least reportedly, to Yu Darvish. And apparently, I haven't heard anything official, but apparently it's been rejected because they were talking about him this morning. On was it last night on Baseball Tonight that the front runners for his services, as he decides where he wants to go, and they reeled off about five teams, and the Milwaukee Brewers were nowhere to be mentioned.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's news to me.
It was Cubs, it was Red Sox, there was a couple other teams that he was eyeballing, and the Brewers were not one of them. So I don't know if it's just through his people or if it's just speculation, but it certainly seemed as if. The Brewers offer was looked at and basically set to the side.
Look,
so we'll see what happens.
You know what, Bill? If you ask me, I don't think David Stearns offered anything less than 20 mil a season. Less than 20. I don't see the Milwaukee Brewers being a small market
team. If you're going to make an offer, you make an offer. You don't do it just to save face with your fan base. You're not trying to lowball a guy. I mean, you want to get him for a good price, but you're not making it just to make it. I mean, if you're going to make it, make it serious, you make it serious.
I think, look, this free agent market right now is just, it's bad. It's really bad because a lot of these free agents are not getting the deals that they want. They're not getting.
Well, they're also screaming collusion at this point, too.
Right. But that's the thing. So now if you're the Brewers, you have to ask yourself, well, how desperate could some of these guys be? Maybe we should throw $15 million a year.
There's quite a few players that have already said, I'm going to wait till the season starts.
Right.
Wait till the season starts, and then teams that really need them are going to step up to the plate and say, okay, we've got the money to spend now. But there's quite a few players that have said it's just not there. They believe the owners are colluding, which very well may be the case, but you're going to have to prove it, that they're texting and contacting one another and saying, we're not spending money. Don't you dare spend money on this particular player. We're going to drive prices down. But also, I think the realization is, if you're a starter and you're not going more than five innings, you're nothing more than the beginning of a middle reliever. And we're not paying you $25 million a year to go five and a third. And that's where some of these guys can't understand it. Because the art of pitching and being a starting pitcher and going 200-plus innings, it's gone by the wayside. It's just not there anymore. Middle relievers should be making as much money as you if they have to come in and mop up your inability to go longer than five innings. So the day of the eight-inning starter is gone, even of the seven-inning starter. If they go six and a third, you're now, like, giddy. And that's just not right. So, anyway, long story short, we'll get back into that tomorrow. This portion of the program being brought to you by all of our great sponsors that are with us each and every day. And our number one sponsor, or one of them anyway, is Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Any big gathering, anything going on in your life that you may need some grub for, Cousin Subs would be a terrific way to do it. All you have to do is contact them at CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com. And check out all that they have to offer. That's CousinSubs.com. And make sure you tell them we sent you, and I highly recommend the pepperoni melt. If you go in there just for you, sit down with some comfort food, you are good to go. That is the pepperoni melt, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Back to the discussion regarding Jason Kidd. I want to get back into that. Many of you chiming in regarding Kidd. This one comes to us from Michael, who writes in the Wendy's email inbox, better known as Ziggy. Kidd, knowing he has zero ability to coach up talent, pushed Horst to make trades for veteran players, and Horst tells Kidd that he's not mortgaging the future just to make Kidd look good right now. Kidd overpractices the team, barely coaches on the floor, in protest blames the team for being young. Kidd and Horst are in a tiff because Kidd can't push him around. That creates the turmoil in the organization. Thus, Jason Kidd out the door. 855-830-8648. This one's from David, who says, I think Jason Kidd was good in the beginning, had a good enthusiasm and a good energy, and ultimately was not able to get the most out of what is considered to be a pretty talented team. That was his undoing. Frustration began to set in. Fingers began to get pointed. And Jason Kidd then threw all of his weight back at the players. Once you do that, you lose the team. Everybody could see it. And that's where the breakdown began. That is from David. David, appreciate the email. This one is from Steve, who says, I think Jason Kidd wasn't that great of a coach to begin with. He had some pretty talented guys, and he coached them up to be an average team. Beyond that, what has he done? Well, he did take over a team that wasn't very good and got them into the postseason. Well, I mean, remember when they got to 42, 45, 50 wins, or 45 wins, we were all giddy just to get back into the postseason and said, man, he was up for coach of the year. And then the year after that, they seemed to take a step back, and then finally last year they took another step forward and they got into the postseason and things were looking pretty solid. But this year, again, I go back to the ability or inability to handle consistent success. They, you know, how do you get a team sky high for Cleveland? And then instead of getting your team sky high to build upon their success and to continue to roll this thing forward and keep up with the likes of Cleveland and San Antonio, for that matter, and Boston and Toronto and some of these other teams that, you know, proved to be the ability, these teams that have the ability to continue to win and be legitimate, Golden State, obviously, then they take a step. They lose to a team like Orlando, you know, and look bad doing that. Again, I go back to the Indiana game. Few weeks ago, they were just looking horrible and just played bad.
Well,
and you're going to have a clunker every now and then, but that was becoming more and more consistent, unfortunately.
Well, this is going to be interesting, Bill, because if you look at this upcoming schedule for the Bucks, it's probably the easiest stretch of games they're going to have all season long, starting on Friday night at home against Brooklyn, who sucks. And Brooklyn has sucked for a while. They've got a long way to go in their rebuilding process. But look at this schedule coming up. Home against Brooklyn. On the road against Chicago. Would be nice if the Bucks could beat the Bulls for a change. You have the 76ers at home. You're at Minnesota. That will be tough. Then you're home against the Knicks. And then this road trip, a four-game road trip, includes Brooklyn, New York, Miami, Orlando. Plus then you have Atlanta, Denver, and Toronto after that. There's a lot of beatable teams on that schedule.
Yep.
There's a lot of teams where the Bucks can actually capitalize and start getting back to 3, 4, 5 games over 500. It would be nice come the All-Star break to see the Bucks at least 4 games over 500. Because that Eastern Conference right now, if you look at the standings, Bill, it is a deadlock. I mean, it's dead even from like the 4 seed all the way down to the 10th spot. There is so much competition right now in the East, and I just feel like the Bucks can easily get over all those groups of teams. I think they're better on paper than a lot of those teams.
855-830-8648. Let's go to Tom listening to us in Marshfield. Tom, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Doing well, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question for you is, how long do you give Mr. Horst? I'm really not a big fan of the DJ Wilson pick, and I think some of this has to be on him. And then as far as the Brewers go, my question to you is, would you sign Darvish? Doesn't it seem a lot like the Matt Garza signing? And if you look at their farm system, they have 6 of the top 100 prospects coming. I'd rather see them save the money for those guys. But thanks for taking my call. You have a great show.
I appreciate it. I want to get back into that. And we have breaking news regarding Brewers baseball, and it's not what you think. It's not what you think, but breaking news regarding Brewers baseball when we come back. More of the Bill Michael Show next. You don't get them girls loose, loose. TJR. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, loose. Mr. Worldwide. But I do, I do. You don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money, loose, loose. But I do, I do. I say y'all having a good time out there. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. So glad to have you. It is a kind of moment. What's going to happen here? I'm not talking about the breaking news that was yesterday when Jason Kidd was let go. I'm talking about none other than the racing sausages at Miller Park. The 25-year sponsorship between the Brewers and Clements is done. Is done. The chief executive officer of Clements Sausage Company says to his employees today, all good things come to an end, and the Brewers have decided to discontinue the partnership with them. The brat, the Polish, the Italian, the hot dog, the chorizo will still be racing around the perimeter of Miller Park, but they will no longer wear the Clements label. There you go. Apparently, Clements entering into spring a contract negotiation with the Brewers, just as they have done so many times. They intended to extend and continue the partnership with the Brewers, and more importantly, the Brewers with their family of fans. Unfortunately, the Brewers abruptly and without explanation, according to Clements, cut off the negotiations. To our surprise, weeks later, the Brewers informed us that they signed with another undisclosed company, and we would not have the opportunity to match, deal, or negotiate. Usually, now that's odd, because usually when you have a long partnership, you always give the partnership the first right of refusal. You know? Even if it's a ridiculous number, you always give them the first right of refusal. So I don't know who it's going to be. Now, the first two that come to mind are Johnsonville and Usinger's. Yep. Usinger's has sponsored Bob Uecker because Clements hated the fact that Usinger's was part of the broadcast. Hated it. But Bob had that kind of pull. Bob Uecker's the one that said, look, they go, I go. He had that kind of loyalty to Usinger's and John Gabe and Fritz and everybody over at Usinger's. That was Bob. Because Clements didn't want them in the broadcast. I mean, I worked in that area for a long time. I know what I'm talking about. So Bob was the one that, obviously, he's the face of Usinger's. He does the stuff with their television commercials, their radio commercials and everything. But now Clements calling the action a surprising and disappointing development. But what has been true for the last 25 years remains true today. Our brand and our company are strong. We remain rooted in and committed to Milwaukee. And no one knows tailgating or grilling better than we do. Just ask Sports Illustrated. Brewers have had no comment on this. Clements has already begun talking with other community partners to support, just like we did the Brewers. We will use the opportunity to grow stronger and deeper in Milwaukee and throughout Wisconsin. That is from Clements. But, man, so the Racing Sausages are going to remain, but they are no longer the Clements Racing Sausages. Want to guess at the front runner? I mean, I think the two locals, like I mentioned, are going to be Johnsonville or Usinger's.
Well, those are the only two brands I can think of.
Unless you go outside of the market. You know, does Oscar Mayer play into all of this? You know what I mean? If you go national?
Yeah.
So, rather than just regional? I mean, that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. You know, there's Old Wisconsin and things like that, but I can't imagine some of the smaller brands making their way into something like this for that amount of money, because that's what it's coming down to.
I just don't get why Clements isn't allowed to counter with an offer of their own.
Or is this something else?
Something behind the scenes?
Is there something to where it's not a sausage sponsor? It's just a company that's sponsoring the Racing Sausages.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That could be too.
Could be.
So, but man, that news hit fast and furious today. So hold on to your sausage. Had breaking news today. How are we looking? I can't take that line serious. Our friend LJ down at Stenny's texted me that. She said, oh, wait a minute. Hold on to your sausage. Got breaking news. Breaking news in a wiener world.
Yeah, or wiener.
Yeah, well, there you have it. So, hey, coming up tomorrow on the program, we will talk some Brewers baseball. We'll talk about whether or not it's time for the Brewers to really jump into the starting pitching free agent market. I do want to get back into that because obviously the breaking news yesterday with Jason Kidd going and being fired, and that came to the forefront today. That was something that we needed to explore, but we will get back into it tomorrow. Tomorrow we will – they're a big game coming up for Marquette. They're taking on Xavier, and I want to get into the preview of that. We will talk some Bucks basketball about the adjusted maybe your win total for the Bucks. And we will start to begin to kind of, you know, we'll talk a lot next week, football. There's going to be a lot of football talk next week, but we'll get into a little bit of that tomorrow as well. is, you know what? It's still odd that the Packers have still not completed everything when it comes to their staff, which leads you to believe there's still some cats out there that maybe they're looking at that might be on other staffs. So we'll get into that discussion as well. But good day today. A lot of good information coming out. So until tomorrow, it is time for us to get out of here. Hey, want to remind you, we will be in Minneapolis, and we're going to be there beginning next week and looking forward to it. Our friends from Robert Hack Diamonds are taking there, Brett and the gang. Green Tree Roads, Port Washington Green Tree Roads in Milwaukee, 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Great people. Make sure you count on them. If you're going for diamonds or gold, or if you need money for your gold, they're the best. They really are. Check out Brett and the whole staff over there and give them a shot to earn your business, because they are just good, good people. Highly recommend them. Going to go ahead and take a break, quick break. Time for us to get out of here till tomorrow, and then we'll be back. Till then, have a good one. Sweet.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.